Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode number 55. Today we're reading chapter 55 of the novel, and family drama just won't stop, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Just as the tempter left Jesus for a season, and just as he tried to get Job to turn his back on God by bringing sickness and misfortune in his life, so the devil swung at the Montague and the Richardson families simultaneously. Pastor Richardson, Brother Reynolds, Brother Montague, and the secretary were still rejoicing at how the Lord led them to handle the CM matter during their prayer time when an emergency phone call came in to the church for Brother Montague. It was an EMT. They were headed to the hospital with Monica. She had been the victim of a hit-and-run accident, probably a drunk driver. Brother Montague immediately called his wife and headed for the hospital after Pastor prayed with him. "I'll check on Sister Richardson, then I'll join you at the hospital," Pastor told him. The Montagues arrived at the hospital, one behind each other, but had to remain in the waiting room. Monica was in one of the operating rooms. The EMT who had called Brother Montague was in the waiting room, apparently waiting for them to arrive. "Hi, I'm Anthony. Are you Mr. and Mrs. Montague?" "And the EMT who called you, I got the number from her purse. I am a Christian and I try to hang around to pray with the family of the patients I bring in. Do you mind if I pray with you?" "Oh no, brother, we're Christians also. And that is the main thing we need now, prayer." After they prayed, Anthony gave them a report as to what happened. Monica was pulling off at the light when the driver in the other car apparently ran the red light at full speed and slammed into her on the driver's side. It was pretty bad. She's unconscious and the car door had collapsed on her leg, applying enough pressure to cause some damage to her leg as well. Some of the glass splintered into her face. Apparently the driver had been drinking. Sister Montague, trying hard to hold back the tears, placed her hands up to her mouth and said, "Oh my goodness." Some of the blood drained from her face. Brother Montague drew her close to him. "What's the worst that can happen?" he asked the EMT. "The doctors can tell you better than I can," Anthony said, "but they will try to remove the broken glass from her face. That shouldn't leave too much of a scar, if any. It's all on the surface. Her leg is not broken, just a deep wound. She was still unconscious when we brought her in. She should come out okay, though. Just keep praying and God will take over." They thanked Anthony for all he had done to help save their daughter. They continued to pray as they awaited the doctor. After finishing business at the church, which took a little longer than expected, Pastor Richardson headed home to check on Sister Richardson, who was still on bed rest, since she was only a couple weeks away from delivering the baby. "Wanda, I'm home," Pastor shouted on entering the front door. "Wanda?" He headed for the bedroom. Her quilt was laying on the couch where he had left her earlier that morning. He thought maybe she was in the restroom. Pushing the bedroom door open, he almost stopped in his tracks. Sister Richardson was laying on the floor. He rushed over to her. Her body was extremely warm and clammy. Her clothes were a little damp. She was sweating profusely. He pulled out his cell phone to call the ambulance. How long she had been like this, he did not know. The EMT crew quickly checked her out. Her blood pressure was extremely low. They quickly placed an IV on her. Soon they were speeding down the road, heading toward the hospital. Pastor Richardson informed Brother Reynolds and the secretary of the turn of events as he headed out the door toward the hospital. "Dear God, I believe all this is happening because the devil is mad at us for all the soul winning we have been doing and for thwarting his plans on Sunday. Please protect the rest of the church family. It's hard to pray, have your will and way at a time like this. But Lord, have your way and will. Please comfort the Montague family and restore Monica back to health. Be with my wife. We're so close to delivering the baby that we've prayed for so long. Please let us not lose the baby. Amen. The doctors and nurses worked hard to bring Sister Richardson's blood pressure down, but with very little success. She was on 24-hour watch with all kinds of machines hooked up to her. She was barely conscious. As Pastor paced the floor in the waiting room, he was greeted by Anthony, the EMT. "Do you mind if I pray with you, sir?" "Go right ahead, and Pastor Richardson, I believe you brought my wife here." The two men prayed, after which Pastor invited him to visit the church. After Anthony left, Pastor placed a call to Brother Montague on his cell phone. "Pastor, we're still here. We're waiting to go into her room. They just wheeled her out of the operating room." Brother Montague shared with him all that Anthony and the nurses at the desk had told him. "What floor are you on?" Pastor Richardson asked. "The second floor. We don't know what room yet, but we'll keep you posted." "The devil has pulled out all the stops. I thought I would be able to come right away. However, it may take a few minutes longer before I get there. I'm on the fourth floor with my wife." Pastor gave him a brief update of what took place since they last spoke at the church, even about the EMT who prayed with him. "No kidding. Pastor, that's the same EMT who brought Monica in, and he prayed with us also. That blessed my heart tremendously. How's Sister Montague holding out?" "She's a tough one. She's doing better than me. I'm sure she'll want to stop by and visit with Sister Richardson for a few minutes." "That will be fine, but tell her to stay put with Monica. Sister Richardson will be out of it for a while. I'm going to call Brother Reynolds and the secretary and have them email and call the church members and begin a 24-hour prayer chain for their recovery. We have to fight the devil with the strongest weapon that we have, and that's prayer. So let's begin rounding up our forces. I'm with you, Pastor. The battle can be tough at times, but the victory is sweet. We love you, Pastor, and we thank God for you. I thank God for you and your family, too. I'll be talking with you soon." News got around fast. The church office was inundated with phone call after phone call. The secretary started filling up the prayer wheel with those who wanted to pray on the 24-hour prayer chain. The battle was on. It was the Saints of New Mount Zion Missionary Evangelical Church versus the dark forces of the devil. Stacy and her parents headed to the hospital after finishing their evening meal. Brother Reynolds and his family joined the gathering after picking up James from school. Jonathan would join them there on his way home from his new job. Sister Heron and Tiffany headed there also, after Tiffany would not stop crying until they were heading in that direction. She left a message at Brother Heron's workplace for him to join them if he could. Just 2 days ago, they were visiting with the Montagues. Brother Harold and Sister Mills drove on out to the hospital after picking Sister Betty up. For the first time, both ladies had nothing to say. All were lost in their own thoughts. Leah, Monica's oldest sister, who no longer worked at the hospital but at a doctor's office, hurried on over to be with her sister as soon as her mother told her the news. She loved her sister dearly. A few others joined them that Tuesday evening for two very powerful prayer meetings in the waiting rooms on the second floor and the fourth floor of the hospital. Strangers were in the waiting rooms being blessed as well as they asked for prayers for their loved ones. This was a critical and trying time for the new Mount Zion Missionary Church family. Pastor Richardson sensed it and said to the members of the church who were present, "Listen up, everyone. The Lord has laid on my heart two verses that I want to share with you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the resurrection." Rather, Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.